morning, and thanks for tuning in KSLM this fine day here on 104.3 FM and 1220 AM as we now present Good Morning Salem with Stacy Ann.
Good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. I'm Stacy Ann. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday. Oh, it's already the 20th of October. Time flies when we're having so much fun, right? That means we're just, 14 days away from the election. And, you know, that's also the day that this emergency order goes through the 3rd of November. I don't think that's any kind of coincidence, do you? And certainly as we're continuing to get through this season that we're in with COVID-19 and the pandemic, it really has upended everything that we know. Certainly, parents are still struggling how to balance work kind of from home, some from home, and trying to keep kids on task as far as school goes. And there's just been so much change to what we know is normal, whatever normal is anyway. And I just, hats off to you parents and your grandparents that are helping out, neighbors, and people are starting co-ops and really thinking outside the box to make sure kids are taken care of. And then yesterday, there was some increased regulation or oversight. I don't know if you knew this or not, through OHA and the governor in regards to face masks and shields. And this morning, watching the news, it was really sad. I was watching the news coming out of Portland, and they were talking about how kids are so excited to play soccer again. These young kids, I bet they're 6 or 7, running up and down the soccer field with masks on. And I'm just curious, this is a question I have, is how healthy is that? Really, where's the science behind that? I understand trying to flatten the curve, understand that it's important that we do our part to protect the most vulnerable, and I get that, and I think that's extremely important. But at one point or another, and maybe that'll be on November 4th, we have to decide as a people how long is enough and what is really effective in preventing people from dying of COVID when 99% of us are surviving it. When you look at the actual statistics from CDC and even the World Health Organization. So these are things still on the mind of voters. These are things that people are affecting everything that we do. And certainly because Oregon has had a system of elections by mail, that process really, other than maybe monitoring the actual election sites, isn't really changed too much as far as voting. And that's something that we can be thankful for, I think, in this process. But I think it's important that we really look at, when we're doing our ballot this year, when we're evaluating who to vote for, I think it's extremely important that we line up our values and we get to know these candidates and what do they stand for and why would we want them to represent us in these particular positions. And I maintain that one of the most critical positions in the state of Oregon is the Secretary of State for so many reasons. And if you were with us last hour, the 7 o'clock hour, we kind of laid that out of what a Secretary of State position looks like and why it's important to know that and why we need to have a good person in there. And I am so blessed and privileged to have Senator Kim Thatcher here in the studio with me. She is the candidate for Secretary of State on the Republican ticket. And good morning to you. Welcome to the second hour.
Yes. Great to still be here.
We're having fun. I'm sipping my coffee. You're sipping tea. And we're getting to know the listeners and listeners are getting to know you. And we really didn't touch on campaign much the last hour because I really wanted our listeners to kind of have a picture of what it is that the Secretary of State does and what you want to do in that position. And it was a great discussion. And I want to transition now more into the election stuff, right? Because there's some stuff going on and there's some clear differences between the candidates vying for this for a vote. And between you and your opponent, there's some things that people need to evaluate. Why should we choose Kim Thatcher over your opponent and over Fagan? And you both have served Oregon. What's the differences? Talk to us a little bit about that.
I've lived in my community 29 years. My opponent has moved around a lot to chase new positions to run for. Mm-hmm. She's kind of a ladder climber. I still don't trust that she wouldn't just decide to drop out of the Secretary of State's office and run for a higher office if she won. I have said all along, even during my primary, that I would be nonpartisan in my approach. She has said it's been very, during her primary, that it's very important that a Democrat be appointed or be in the Secretary of State's position. She has Democrat for Secretary of State on her signs. Mm. I have said all along, I want to do independent redistricting. And she was saying, if it's not broke, don't fix it. She liked the partisan process that was in place until recently. She must have looked at polling, put her finger to the wind, and decided that she wants to have some sort of an independent redistricting. And I say appearance because she has accepted $100,000 from the National Democratic Redistricting Committee PAC.
Whoa.
And to me, that, I mean, if she's for independent redistricting, you wouldn't put the word a party name before redistricting. And so she's flipped on that because she's put her finger to the wind. She's actually kind of adopted a lot of the things I've been saying all along in her own speeches. And now she can start sounding like me because she has to do that in order to get elected. And so I have actually three opponents. Two are minor party opponents, a Libertarian and a Pacific Green Party opponent. But yeah, she would be the main contender as the Democratic/Working Families Party contender. And I, excuse me, along with my Republican nomination, I got the Independent Party of Oregon. She came in fifth in that race. Mm. I was able to get that nomination.
Oh, that's excellent. So, you know, just stopping you there for a moment, thinking about your influence when elected into Secretary of State position, the other thing that I think you could evaluate, just from an outsider looking in and having worked on other campaigns in other states, I think it's cumbersome to be a candidate in a sense, and some of what you talked about the reporting, but even the voter pamphlet and getting your picture and getting your information in. And I've heard all kinds of stories about just the trouble for everyday people who are wanting to run, you know, as a House or even their local elections, that it's cumbersome. And so just a little Stacey insight here, that's something that I would like to see the Secretary of State address. And I think more of an independent person can look at those systems to make it easier for folks to participate as candidates. So that's for what that's worth. But it's a little rabbit trail. But that is something that as a candidate, having an independent spirit in that position is really important, right?
Yes. And I'm trying to think how to make, because you'll still have to get your picture out. You still have to get, there's deadlines to meet. But I think communication is really important and making sure that people know the process and maybe have some education. Maybe that's something that the Secretary of State could do, is just kind of go around the state and talk, hey, if you're interested in running for office, here are the things you need to know.
This is what
kind of like
thinking.
What we do. Yeah. Kind of like we do with businesses. Mm-hmm. You have the local.
Like a boot camp.
Right.
Yeah. I love that.
Anybody.
Yes.
For everybody.
If you want to run and participate and this is how you do it. Kind of a little boot camp. I love that idea. So when we talk about this election, you know, it seems like what I have seen in just a little bit, and I have not had a personal interaction yet with her, but it seems like she kind of touts herself or puts herself out there as she's the queen of democracy because she's voted motor voter and paid postage on ballots. Why are those things not all what they've cracked up to be?
Well, it's being touted as opening up access to voting, but we still only have the people who are interested in voting, and the people who are not interested in voting, not voting still. And it has not increased voter participation rates. In fact, if you want to compare two governor races, two governor years, so 2014 and 2018, it went down. Voter participation went down. But then she'll come back with, well, we've got a bigger pool of people now because people are automatically registered to vote. Well, but that's true. You do have a larger number voting and a larger number of people registered, but we also have increased our population greatly.
True.
So it's, of course, there's going to be a correspondence right there. And as far as postage paid, what it has done is just changed the behavior of the voters who still participate and, you know, choose to participate. Whereas before, 60% were using the ballot drop sites. Now they say, oh, hey, I don't have to put a stamp on it. Now 60% are putting it in the mailbox. Mm. So it's gone from 60% ballot drop boxes, 40% mail to now 60% mail and 40% drop boxes.
So if you want to write off the start, save the government some money, take it again, which I think everybody should do, take your ballot down to your county courthouse and drop it off.
It's $1.7 million that they've set aside for just elections.
Whoa,
this year. Yeah,
that's incredible. Ooh.
Yeah.
So a lot of her positions, it looks like, since you talked about this a little bit about her, since the primary, she continues to flip on. And I do think this redistricting is a huge thing as we move forward. And you continue to be consistent with your position. You're the same as you were in the primary. You're the same. In fact, I would even say the things that concern you when you ran as a senator and as a representative, you know, it's consistent. Fighting for the Oregonian individual and families, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's real important that we do get an independent redistricting commission, and it will go, like I have said this so many times, I'm not sure if I mentioned it, but the legislators get first crack at drawing the maps. That's mm-hmm. what's in our Constitution. That is the process we have in place. There was a proposal to move it to an independent commission that is made up of people that would not benefit politically or financially from how the maps are drawn in mm-hmm. Oregon. And that is because of COVID and all the restrictions there, and plus the restrictions that my opponent voted for, which mm-hmm. made it more difficult to collect signatures, mm-hmm. it did not make it to the ballot. And I said, if it doesn't make it to the ballot, I would adopt the spirit of what's in that and do everything I can to honor what's in IP57, which is the initiative petition that didn't make it to the ballot.
So people that are wanting to get engaged in your campaign, mm-hmm. What are ways that they can get involved and assist you now? I know we're only 14 days away, but what can they be doing now to help you?
They can talk to their friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, let them know why they support me and why they don't listen to all the negative campaign my opponent has put out there. They're very worried. I'll take it as a good sign. They're pummeling the airwaves with all kinds of negative things and just really twisting things and misdirecting, and it's deceitful, really. Mm-hmm. But just talk. It's all about turnout. Those people who don't think it matters if they vote, believe me, it matters. And I use this example because people know who this person is. Kate Brown. Mm. This is the person. She won her very first election by 7 votes. It matters.
It matters.
There's a lot of close elections around our state, and we just have to get the turnout.
And elections have consequences. And again, I maintain, folks, that look at that ballot and look at who's been in office and how is that serving you this particular season in our life with COVID and everything else. And I think, you know, let's do something that let's bring people in who will line up with our values and do things in Oregon, open it back up, really advocate for we the people and serve us. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're going to open up the phone lines after this. Good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. There's a few events on the calendar that I want to share with you, and thanks to all of you that are sending me your community calendar events, your nonprofit organization. I'd love to partner in promoting it with you, so please send me an email, stacy@ksl.news. 40 Days of Life, continuing on here in Salem at Planned Parenthood, a prayer vigil from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. You can find out more, 40daysforlife.com/Salem, and they're going to do that through November 1st. And then coming up on November 1st as well, kickingcancer.org, they're having their golf-a-thon. Yes, and yours truly is going to try to hit golf balls at Top Golf. I am not a golfer, and it's going to be, I don't know, maybe they'll take some video of it. It'll probably be really funny to watch, but For Cause, For Kicking Cancer, I am doing a fundraiser, and I'm looking forward to that. And if you want to be a part of Team Stacy Ann, you can go to kicking-cancer.org/golfathon and fill out the form, make your pledge, and put in Stacy Ann. And then November 14th, which I'm really excited to learn more about this, the Hope Pregnancy Center is having their fundraiser and special program. And so hopefully we'll get them in the studio to talk a little bit more about their upcoming event. We're continuing to move along in the conversation about elections and the critical position of Secretary of State. And in the studio with me is Senator Kim Thatcher. Kim, thank you for being here today. And we ask the callers or our listeners to call in and ask some questions and participate in the conversation. They've been very patient in waiting on the line. And so we're going to go ahead and open up the phone lines here. And again, I want you to talk a little bit, Kim, before we open up the phone lines. How can people get involved and what is your website?
My website is kimthatcher.com. And I have a Facebook page.
Do you have a Facebook page?
Yeah, oh. Kim Thatcher for Oregon.
So good.
Just find that. And
well,
there's information there as well.
And I think it's important that our listeners know that this will be up on the podcast, on our website. Put it on our Facebook page that you share with your friends and family and those in Oregon who are still making their decision, that they get a chance to get to know Kim. And certainly there are things off the Facebook page and the website that you can share as well. We're going to open up the phone lines now. And I believe, good morning, this is Art. How are you doing, Art? Thank you for waiting.
Good morning, ladies. I hope you're doing well today. And Kim, Senator Thatcher, I can't tell you how excited I am about your campaign, because I do believe that you're going to bring even more to the Office of Secretary of State than Dennis Richardson did. And so I'm really excited, and hopefully we're going to have you as our new Secretary of State come January. But a couple questions, because I think they're really very important for people to know. By the way, let me mention Senator Fagan was also in favor of allowing 16-year-old kids to vote. In fact, she sponsored a bill. And the reason why she did that was because the most important thing for her is money and power. And that does not motivate Kim. The state of Oregon and making Oregon a better place for Oregonians to live is what she wants. And so that statement. But anyways, Kim, number one, what agencies, I know you guys earlier talked about the employment division, but what other agencies will you be focusing on that really need some attention? Because as a senator, you know they haven't been run too well. And two, are you prepared for a real battle to get the Secretary of State's office funded like it should be? Because you and I both know there should be more performance audits and those kind of things. And typically speaking, the Secretary of State's office in Oregon purposely has been underfunded.
Okay, I'll start with the agencies I think need to be looked into. Right now we have kids doing kitchen table school pretty much largely all over the state, and we have a lot of kids that are not even able to log into the internet. They don't have equipment to log into the internet. What is happening? Are we even keeping track of attendance? We have kids falling behind in school. I think it's very important we figure out where our education dollars are going. I want to put in a permanent audit team dealing with schools and the Student Success Act to make sure that we're keeping promises to Oregon. Also, our forestry management and wildfire response, I think those need to be looked into. And that would be a multi-agency approach, because we have the emergency management. A lot of good things happened there. But they said that we were ready to roll back in 2000, I think it was 18. And there were a lot of people that didn't get the warning to get out. And it was just people knocking on doors and doing... Anyway, the system didn't quite work right. So we've got wildfire response, emergency management, forest management, all that I think really need to be looked at. I would really like to look into our homelessness programs. Where's the money going? How much is this costing? Is there a better way we can do this? So on the second... So that's just a sampling. I mean, you're right. There are... It's a target-rich environment as far as looking into and finding ways to improve our government and its response and to folks and helping our state. So prepared to battle the and set the funding in the Secretary of State's office where it should be. Right now, we are going through, because of the COVID shutdowns, we have greatly reduced revenue because the revenue comes from people paying taxes. People aren't paying their taxes because they're unemployed, and they're not employed because their businesses were forced to shut down. And that is going to be, we're going to see the effect very quickly. We're going to burn through whatever reserves we've had on hand for a long time. It's going to be a real tough battle to try to get more, but I agree with you. We need to absolutely... do everything we can to make government more accountable and transparent.
About how many people work in the Secretary of State office, do you know?
I think it's over 200, and it's about an $80 million budget right now.
Okay, okay. Good to know that. And then, but you're covering a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's a lot of big divisions.
It's a backbone to Oregon, again, a critical position, Secretary of State.
It really is.
Mm-hmm. And so you're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. We're having a great conversation this morning with Senator Thatcher. She is candidate for Secretary of State right here in Oregon, and hopefully you've gotten your ballot and you're laying it out and you're researching each of the candidate and what they stand for. You're evaluating your values and voting for the candidates that line up with your values. I'm telling you right now, Senator Thatcher, she lines up with my values. I endorse her officially this morning. Thank you, Senator Kim, for what you're doing. We'll be back after this.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's a good morning. Wake up to a brand new
good morning, Salem. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Thank you for tuning in to hour two of this delightful morning. It's 8:35 in the morning. I'm Stacey Ann, and we're bringing you encouragement. I want to say a shout out to all of you online listening, KSLM.news. Thank you for tuning in, and maybe you're from another state. And if you are, I encourage you to really evaluate in your state, too, the Secretary of State position. It's such a critical role. And I know all around the country this year, it has been such a challenge for those that are trying to campaign, trying to get known by their constituents. And it has been such a struggle. Talk to me a little bit, Kim. I've got Senator Kim Thatcher here in the studio with me, and she is going for the candidate for the Secretary of State position. And we've had a great discussion for about an hour and a half now, and we're moving into the last little segment. And I want to know a little bit, what are you doing during this COVID-19 pandemic to connect with constituents and get them to know who you are?
That has been a challenge. It was almost immediately from the beginning of the campaign when I was actually out of session, able to get out, and I had all kinds of things that were scheduled, shut down, canceled, postponed. You know, eventually canceled. And so Zoom has been a lifesaver. It's kind of annoying not being able to meet people in person as much, but I'm glad we have the technology and ability to kind of just be, you know, Zoom in to different locations around the state. I've also been on going to places in the land of phase two. So Eastern Oregon, Southern Oregon, and Central Oregon. A lot of times, and meeting with people, having events, having town halls, in-person meetings, that's been a great joy and brings a little bit more normalcy, even though we've had to meet with, you know, face shields and masks and social distancing. It's still nice to be able to see people in person. So it's kind of strange with no parades and fairs and conventions and rallies.
It's hard to gauge the momentum.
Yeah,
it really is hard to gauge the momentum. But despite all of that, you're still connecting with people. And I love the idea that you've been doing these, like every other week, meet Kim on...
Chatting with Kim.
Yeah, chatting with Kim on a Zoom. And do you have any more scheduled between now and the election day?
There is, because they're scheduled for the first and third Mondays of the month. The next Monday is the day before election day. So it'll be Monday, November 2nd at 7 p.m. Just look under events on my Facebook page, and you'll find the connection
I absolutely love that. And so talk to us a little bit about fundraising during COVID and how's that going compared to maybe, do you know how your opponent is doing? Talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, interestingly, fundraising is challenged simply because businesses have been shut down. And so people are in financial straits in a lot of ways and in a lot of areas. So raising money has been, it's been very much a grassroots effort. 99% of my money so far has come from in-state donations, and most of them small. Most of them, the you know, every once in a while, a $10,000 check will come in. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, a $1,000. But mostly they've been $100 and less. Mm-hmm. And it's just been humbling to see people actually purposely take the time to send me $5 or $12 or, you know, $30.63 or $20.20, just kind of coding as to some of the things and reasons are supported. It's just, it's been humbling.
It's heartwarming and it's very notable that you're having such grassroots support in the state that you're representing as opposed to what is your opponent getting?
My opponent is getting a lot of big government union money. And this is money where they've taken, the unions have, well, actually the government will take, will skim money off the top of a paycheck and they'll send it to the big government unions. Then the government unions decide where to send those monies so that they can get more power. That's really what it's about for the big government union bosses. I'm not talking about the government workers. I'm, you know, because they're great people. In fact, they're the ones that we really need to consult to make sure that we have a better government. But when it comes to the big government union bosses that really want to give themselves more money and power, that's what it's about for them. So my opponent's been getting a lot of that money and plus national money coming from Democratic groups nationally. And she's got supporters called Eric Holder, and I think I saw Elizabeth Warren on her page.
Oh, wow.
You know, Jeff Merkley, those types of national figures supporting her race.
So when we look at those endorsements or those national figures, you know, I was looking at the voter's pamphlet, which is real telling for me. And again, I vote my values, and my values is to protect life. And I'm a very much from natural, from conception and natural death is how I, my values, and I look at a candidate. And I, when I see right here that Senator Fagan has been endorsed by Planned Parenthood PAC of Oregon right there, it's like, nope. Can't do it. And I'm looking at some of these other things and people that are supporting her. And I'm glad that that's her endorsements are on here because it helps me in evaluating. And then I jump over to your side. Let's talk about some of the folks that are endorsing you.
Well, I have the National Federation of Independent Business, PAC. I have the Oregon Small Business Association. Let's see. Unified Business Oregon, Timber Unity, the Farm Bureau, Family Farmers Association, Moms Building Excellent Schools. There's a few others that I just, they're eluding me right at the moment, but I do have a pretty good coalition of support with, you know, where it relates directly to the Secretary of State's office.
What you're doing.
Yeah.
Day in, day out. Yes.
I did get one public sector union. I only got $4,000 from them because they're kind of a small union, but it's the ORCOPS.
Oh,
this is
fantastic.
The boots on the ground, you know, cops, the ones that are out there being denigrated and have spit in their face every day. Those are the ones.
The ones on the front lines, the law and order for folks. And I think this is important for people to use as an evaluation tool in the voter's pamphlet to really investigate and see what's important and what you're going to hit. We got a call on the line. They've been waiting a few minutes here. We're going to open up the phone lines. And good morning. I'm not sure who I'm talking to. Thank you for waiting. You're joining the conversation this morning. How are you?
Oh, fine. And I have a much shorter question than Art.
Oh, thank you.
Anyway, I just was wondering, what is it that Senator Thatcher most admires about Donald Trump?
What do I most admire about Donald Trump? Well, he takes arrows pretty well. I've never seen anybody with more incoming arrows than as a politician than he did. I think every person out there, like Obama, was really good about supporting the, you know, fathers and the, the importance of fathers in kids' lives, and I appreciate that. And Clinton was pretty good about triangulating and being able to just kind of see where the folks were and not just be, you know, dog as dogmatic as maybe some people might be. Anyway, so I can find something
you
to admire
find good
in anybody.
Everybody. Yeah, that's excellent. Thank you for calling in this morning.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
So as we continue the conversation and talking about, you know, running for candidate here in Oregon, I think one of the things that I've discovered as I've got a chance to interview the different candidates and the different positions that they're going for we're all learning what roles are. And I think sometimes there's confusion, even, and maybe you saw this as a senator or representative here in Oregon, you know, people going for the federal positions, they think that state issues, you know, there's the federal government and then there's a state government. And then within the state government, there's different executive offices, right? And positions like we have treasurer, we have secretary of state. And I think it's important. We're all kind of getting a civics lesson, aren't we? and how government should run. As you campaign and you're talking with folks in your grassroots, what's one of the joys that you find in what you're doing right now?
One of the joys I find is when I'm meeting people and just finding people, I have no idea who they are, but they know who I am and they're very much wanting to help. And that to me is just overwhelming. That's really, really cool. It's what keeps me going mm-hmm. because there's a lot of negativity out there. And it's nice to find that positivity out there with folks and finding people that really believe and want to do everything they can to help. And that grassroots help is just priceless. It's
yes.
priceless. I mean, people have been devastated economically, and I love these small donations that are coming in mm-hmm. and the help that's people are just doing what they can. And that's really the best part.
When I got back to town, I traveled last week, and there's been all kinds of sign-waving campaigns for different candidates. And to me, it's even with COVID, people are doing their best mm-hmm. to get behind their candidates and grab yard signs and stickers and things like that. And if people were interested in getting some of that stuff, how would they connect with you to do so? Through your website, maybe?
Yes, but it's difficult to get individual things to mm-hmm. individual people all over the state. So it's been frustrating that I don't have enough signs because I haven't had as big of a robust campaign
right.
simply because of funding.
Yes.
We've had to focus on the things that we felt like would try to, you know, move voters
get the most
my way.
Momentum.
Right?
Yeah.
And so it's been a little frustrating for folks to say, I've been asking for a sign, I haven't got one. I apologize.
Well, I
apologize.
It's probably just, at the county just, office. Yeah. Are there signs at the county office?
There should be. A lot of counties have run
mm-hmm.
out. Signs are
okay.
kind of a scarce commodity.
Mm-hmm.
I do have some bumper stickers. I might be able to stick one in the mail or something
okay.
to somebody. But
okay.
yeah, it's been hard. And I really wish I could just, you know,
yes.
make sure everybody's got everything they want.
I know.
But it's just
well, I think
happening.
The best thing is that people can share on their Facebook and social media. They can share these interviews, hour one and hour mm-hmm. two, and certainly share some of your Zoom calls. Are those pre-recorded from the past that people can, maybe not so much? Okay.
I don't think
well,
they are.
Anything that you've done, your ads, you've had some ads on your Facebook that people could
mm-hmm.
share, things like that. Those are ways that people can get engaged today
right.
and spread the good news. Do you have like prayer support and people gathering around you? Talk to me a little bit about that.
Everywhere I go, I will find somebody who wants to pray for me and with me. And oh my gosh, it's so felt. I appreciate it. Just those things are so important. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just. It's not just knocking on doors. It's not just sending money. It's not just, you know, well, can't even knock on doors now, but
I know.
You know, it's not just sending money. It's not just, you know, sign waving. It comes down to prayer and asking for that divine intervention
mm-hmm.
that I think we need in our country right now. But that also helps keep me going, and I feel those, and I appreciate it.
Well, and I think all of us since this pandemic have been really good about ramping up the prayers all the way around, and I'm a person in prayer myself, and I think it's important. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM, having a great discussion with Senator Kim Thatcher, who's running for Secretary of State of Oregon, a critical position. It's important that we know who we're going to vote for and get her done. We'll be back after this. Good morning to you. You're listening to Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. It's 8:50 on this wonderful Tuesday. Excited to have Senator Kim Thatcher in the studio today, and we've had a great conversation over the last hour and a half, hour and 45 minutes or so, in regards to what a Secretary of State does, why she's wanting to run, what her goals are in regards to getting that position and how it'll better serve Oregon, and the campaign. We've been dealing with a little more campaign issues, taking a few phone calls. And Senator, when we talk about fundraising and we talk about the kinds of things that reach and move voters, you know, we have a huge state that has non-affiliated. When you talk, there's a lot of parties, first of all. I was really shocked at all the choices of parties. But we also have a huge middle ground of folks that don't really want to be identified in one way or the other. They're non-affiliated. They're not even independent. They're non-affiliated. Where I come from, where I've lived, it's mostly been the independent. Talk to us about how do we reach those, or how are you wanting to reach those and get those voters more engaged?
First of all, every vote counts. I want people to get out and vote. Of course, I would like them to vote for me, but mm-hmm. they need to just inform themselves and vote their conscience and get out there and vote. Because every vote does matter, and that is so important. I can't possibly win just by depending on one party or another. That's why it's so important that this position be seen, and as I do, as a nonpartisan position, and mm-hmm. one with nonpartisan responsibilities. And I mean, it technically is a partisan position because we're running as under party banners, but mm-hmm. I see it with nonpartisan responsibilities, and that's why it's so important. And I just want the independents, the nonpartisan, or you know, the non-affiliated voters and members of other parties to see that this is the way I want to approach it. I will treat you fairly. I want to listen to you. I want to hear what your concerns are and see what we can do to help alleviate them, or see some of these things done that you would like to see.
Yes, and it's interesting because I believe, as a voter and looking at the candidates, and I start seeing these attack ads coming out, and it just turns my stomach, because it almost makes me, and I think I've talked to other friends and other colleagues who kind of feel the same. When you see a negative attack ad like that with no truth in it, you know, just trying to throw people off and make people question and doubt, it makes me question that candidate as to, especially when it's just vague. It's one thing if it's voting record and actual truthful things that you can go and research and go, yeah, that was right, but it's just hot air in a sense. Mm-hmm. As a candidate who's certainly received some of these attack ads, and even I think there's some articles even today that popped up with misinformation, how do you handle that?
You just have to stay focused. You just cannot get diverted by these things. There are the negative Nellies out there always, and you just have to stay on your message and keep moving forward. That's the best you can do, especially when you don't have a ton of money to hit the networks,
right?
And do those types of things that you know, that hit back. But that's what I'm doing, just forging forward and talking to people, and as people know who I am and my character, I'm endorsed by Kathy Richardson. Mm. That is Dennis's widow, and she knows me. She's known me for many years. She knows my character. She knows I will carry on Dennis's legacy of accountability, transparency, and integrity in government. She knows I will carry on some of the goals that he had and try to keep moving Oregon down that same path. So that means a lot to me.
Sure.
She knows me. She knows my character, and she knows that some of these things out there are not, these things that are just flying around are just not true or representative of who I am.
And keeping your eyes focused on the goal, yeah, and moving forward. And,
yeah,
and if he was here today, what do you think he would tell you?
If he was here today, I think he'd be sailing on to an easy reelection, first mm-hmm. of all. But second of all, I think he would be encouraging me otherwise,
mm-hmm.
definitely,
yes,
that he would be on board with
my campaign. He would be on board saying, you line up with my values,
yes,
let's move ahead, let's move Oregon ahead in a positive way. Well, we have another phone call. Let's take this phone call. Welcome this morning to the conversation. Who am I talking with?
This is Ronnie.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, how you doing, my dear?
Doing good. Thank you for joining the conversation.
I wanted to just give a shout-out to Kim. She has really been a servant of the people. What I'm hoping that if people will remember, she always listens to everybody. She can call her office and everything else. I'm reaching out to the people that's NAVs and independents and Democrats, too. We're all God's children. All lives matter, in my opinion, as an American, and of faith. And at the same time, Kim has always been fair to listen to all sides of the issue. When you go to a public hearing, when you listen to her testify, there's some bills I may disagree with, but you know, there might be a reason why she has supported various bills on the side. She's always tried to be fair and listening and discerning. And voters out there in the Valley need to do that. And Kim, you need to put some more radio ads out. It'd be very much appreciated.
Very,
now you know who I am.
Very good, Ron. Thank you for joining the conversation. Have a great day. This is a great point, and I think it is what you bring to the table, is that you're approachable. You listen, you take the information in, and you want to have results. You want to see something good out of it. And I think you're going to continue that on beyond being a senator. You're going to be an excellent Secretary of State, and you're going to have to get used to that, Madam Secretary, right? I'm a big one about visualization and that manifestation and seeing yourself in that position. And when the election's over, are you going to get a chance to kind of take a little bit of a brain break, maybe with your family, and kind of regroup before you go on to receiving that, Secretary of State position? Are you going to get a chance to do that?
Yes, I plan on going south and soaking up some rays and just zoning out for a few days.
Yes, and taking a little bit of refresher before you get back into it, right? And again, people can get involved. They can find your Facebook page. What is it? Just Kim Thatcher?
Kim Thatcher for Oregon.
Okay. And your website?
My website's kimthatcher.com.
Okay. And they can send emails or contact you if they have further questions or want to engage. And they can donate off of the website as well?
They can donate there. Yeah, there's a donate prominently displayed up in the right-hand corner when you get into that site. But you can also send me an email, kim@kimthatcher.com.
So you have a little bit of time left. Give us your best pitch of why we should vote for you.
I have a good combination of experience in both the public and private sector. And in my time in the public sector, has been focused on just those very things that intersect with the work and duties of the Secretary of State's office. And I have committed to carry on the office similar to how Dennis Richardson did, and focusing on audits and challenging, taking on the challenges that Oregon's facing, having a fair, transparent elections, fair and transparent redistricting, and making sure that we just have the best government for the people and of the people and by the people as we can. Focus on a more people-centered initiative and referendum process, which has been kind of whittled away at by the legislature. I hope that we can get the legislature back on board with having that be more people-centered and people-friendly, and getting our public records out there and advocating for that. So much.
I love that. That's wonderful. Thank you for taking your time to be here this morning.
You bet. My pleasure.
You have a wonderful day, and God bless you as you continue to campaign on. We'll hear the good news on November 3rd, right?
I hope so.
Over, under, around, or through, no matter what you are facing, my friends, today, we are overcomers. So blessed to have Kim Thatcher here in the studio. And we're believing that she'll be our next Secretary of State. Thank you for tuning in today. Reliable News Talk Radio, KSLM. Don't forget to find us on Facebook, KSLM Radio. We'll put this podcast up on Facebook, and you can share it with your friends and family. We'll be back tomorrow morning. Remember,